We're on a mission to explore how emerging technologies, media, robotics, and data and behavioral science will solve humanity's most pressing challenges. From education, mobility, energy, food and water supplies, the environment, employment, all the way to disease and basic human rights. Nothing is off limits. This episode is brought to you by Beverage Universe. They have every flavor to help you stay young, beautiful, and thirsty. Go to beverageuniverse.com for your next flavor experience. So for anybody that missed part one of Henry's episode, please go back to the previous episode and you can hear about how Henry got started, some of the challenges he faced, some of the people that he's worked with. So have a listen and come right back. Welcome back, Henry. Thanks for being here.
Thanks again for having me.
So we're going to take off into part two of this episode today and continue where we left off.
I love it. Let's go.
How does branding play right now in the sandbox? Because branding, as it was even 5 years ago, I think it was a lot less complicated. Like what you just said is so true, because you go out there, you find the URL or you find an Instagram handle, but it's not available on YouTube. It's not available on Facebook. And it's just so complicated. Yeah. And it may or may not resonate with that particular platform's audiences. So how do you do all that right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, so let's break down branding in a little bit more of a granular approach. So first we got to diagnose who your ideal client is. And we really got to figure out what their pain points are and how does your product or service solve that problem, mm-hmm. right? And then how are you different from everybody else that does what you do? I mean, that's like the real core of it all. Like that's where the word branding came from. The cattle would get branded on their rear end to stand out from all the other cattle. Mm-hmm. And so that's number one. Number two is let's look at what kind of revenue streams can we create? Like what products and services does your particular audience even want or need? Because what you think may be cool, they don't want. I was talking off air about how I work with some pro athletes, and specifically in the NFL, where I was pitching them these brand packages, and they were like, I would rather go spend $50,000 on a blinged out chain.
Right.
Or a car.
Of course.
That's so much cooler, right? Mm-hmm. But when I said, well, what kind of endorsement deals would you potentially get pitched if you had a strong social media following, if you had a big following, if you had a fan base that you can monetize and sell products and services to, what would that do for your income? Mm-hmm. And then their eyebrows started to raise like, ooh, tell me more.
Right, right.
So it was a pivot that worked really well. So again, it's how you position, and then we could talk about that too. How you position and posture yourself. So if you want to attract an affluent or an influencer or a person of influence, they typically have a tendency to really pay attention to detail. They want to know why you did that cross, right? Or
right.
They're looking at your brand going, is this an iconic looking brand? Is this professional? Is this polished? In the ClickFunnels community, there's always this argument about do ugly funnels perform better than polished
funnels?
Well,
that's an interesting one, because a lot of times what I've seen is that they do.
They do. Like the ugly funnels perform better.
Yes.
Yeah. So I say – so I jump into the conversation and I say, I don't know – it doesn't matter. Here's what really matters. How do you want to be remembered by your audience?
And who the audience is that you're attracting. Because if you're looking for a lower value kind of product or service, yes, they are going to convert faster. And an ugly funnel is going to look good because it looks cheap.
Right.
If you're looking for high net worth type of brands and companies that are looking to elevate themselves in the marketplace, no, an ugly funnel is not going
to
work.
Try to pitch me an ugly funnel and I will chop my credit card up before I
right
use it to mm-hmm. pay anything for that funnel. Like, right. It's just, it's not going to be appealing. And so I look at it as very lazy. And if your funnel looks like this, what is your product or service going to deliver? And that is like a huge thing that I tell my clients, like, because my clients want to work with affluent people. They want to work with people with money because they sell expensive stuff. So you have to look the part. So I one day I was talking to a client and this literally just flew out of my mouth. I was like, if you look the part, you could charge the part, right? Mm-hmm. And I said, the quality of your branding or the quality of your brand will determine the quality of your client. And I ran with that for a couple years.
That's
and
that, true.
Then I took it a step further and I said, the quality of your client is going to determine the quality of your life. And as I got older, I said, I want a more, and I think we all as entrepreneurs, the reason why we got into entrepreneurship is to create a higher quality of life for ourselves without having to punch a clock or take orders. Mm-hmm. So,
you know, something that you just made me think of is I've been saying this lately. I feel like when you go out of alignment with yourself to work with people that you don't necessarily either enjoy or don't appreciate your value, you end up not just ruining that relationship, but then you get so cranky, bitchy, depressed, and you ruin all your other relationships too, because that one person or client or whoever is making you miserable. So I over time have had a really hard time with this, is cutting that cord and letting them go. I think that's been
I get that question a lot, and they ask me, why do you, like, how did you go from 48 clients a year making X to 8 clients a year doubling your revenues? And that is like the $1 million question. That's how I got into the Two Comma Club. When I found a mentor to help me rewire my thinking and my mindset and to really see my true worth and to see the value that we deliver for clients and how we up-level them, I was able to charge more for my prices. And the folks that couldn't afford it, they just fell to the waistline. But here's the one thing that, and this is hard, it took me 38 years to figure this out. It was financial intelligence. And so I'll tell you a story real quick. So it's 2017, okay? My wife went through 2 rounds of IVF to have our son in vitro, mm-hmm. right? And the first time it didn't work, and we were bummed, okay? And I'll be honest with you guys, I was not pumped about this process because I felt forced. Mm-hmm. I felt like it wasn't real or natural, and maybe it just wasn't meant to be. And if it does work, what kind of issue? Like, it was a horrible mindset. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't work the first time. My wife says, all right, well, I'm going to give it a break and we'll come back in a couple months. If I'm still interested, I'll do it again, because my wife's just a tough cookie, man. So she says, I'm going to do it again. So I go, all right, I'm not on board, but give it a shot. It works.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Best, beautiful baby, and the best thing that ever happened to me in my life, honest to God. But going back, those 9 months, I was petrified. Because I said, I will never be the father that my father was to me. The shit that I put him through, like, oh my, I just started getting, my skin started
now to scroll. Now you're going to get it back.
Right? Tenfold, right? So what happens is my wife has Dante, and I go into a deep panic, and I go out and I buy a $187,000 car. I buy 2 Rolex watches, and I literally start to just bury myself financially because I'm trying to take my mind off of being a dad. Like, get me out of here. Like, divert. And so I come home with this car, and my wife goes apeshit and basically says,
I can't disagree.
Right, no, nobody did. And she was like, well, it's not fair to us and this and that. And I don't know where to go. Like, I'm ready to jump off a bridge, honestly, because I just was like, this is not going to work. Like, I just can't figure this out. So I go to my dad, right? And I said, now, on top of it, you ready, Tara? My processes and systems at that time were still not bulletproof. I get these two clients, took them on, I shouldn't have, because I needed the money, because I spent every penny that I made. So I needed the work. Those two projects go to hell in a handbasket. I got a refund $40,000 in one day. Now, I just bought $20,000, $35,000 in watches plus this car. And the guy, not the girl, but the guy decides to do a smear campaign on social media about me. I'm getting aunts and cousins messaging me going, this person from Kazakhstan just... just messaged me saying that you're a fraud. What's going on?
Unreal.
And I go, holy shit. So now my wife is like, can you imagine my wife at this point? Like,
yes.
Now she's ready to look up divorce attorneys, right? So she's like, we got to make a statement, this and that. So I refund them. Listen, I'm an honest guy. I did not deserve that money. So it's going back to you. Just stop with the smearing because you know I'm not a fraud, dude. Like, honestly. So that was the day. So everything works out. Now, here's the power of personal brand. My wife says, go take a hike. Don't go on social media today. Let this whole thing, like, calm down. 7 o'clock that night, I come back, and I just go to Facebook, and I see hundreds of comments on that statement that we posted. And it's my audience.
Yeah, of course.
All backing me up, going, Henry's not a bad guy. Yeah, he might have fucked up these two jobs, but, like, he's not a bad guy. And then a couple of guys private messaged me, said, this guy did this to me, and I've been in hiding for a year and a half because of it.
Right.
I didn't have the personal brand like you did to back me up. And so I had to literally fold my business and go do something else. And I was in tears that day because I said, holy crap.
No, you got to fight those things.
Yeah, and if it wasn't for me putting out my true self on social media, I wouldn't have built that audience, and my audience would not have come to bat to me. So when that happened, I said, this is it. I cannot do this nonsense anymore. I can't put my family through this. And as I'm growing in influence, like, every time you do something like this, the hits get harder.
Yes.
Right? So I said, I need help. So I get another coach. This time, guy wins Grammy Awards. He worked with Coldplay, Nike, Microsoft, these big names. Been in business 25 years. Doing the same shit we do. Like, brand strategist development, the whole nine. And I said, I need to learn from you, my friend. You've been very successful, and I need this help. So got everything back in order, thank God. Now, getting back to the financial crisis that's going on. Now I'm 40 in a hole, 40K in a hole. I got to figure this out. So thank God, right? I go to my father and I said, mind you, the guy that kept the same nickel he earned first day of work, right? I tell him, this is where I'm at. I need, like, is there anything you could do to help me? Like, this is it. So he gives me the 40K and he says, you don't have to pay me back because this is the money that you were going to get when I die. So just know when I die, you ain't getting this. So I'd rather give it to you now when you need it. So I'm in tears because I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed in myself. I disappointed him, you know, my family. I was a wreck. So I take a step further and I go back and I deliver. I give back the watches. So luckily to Julie, I have a great relationship with him. He gave me a decent price for them back. So I'm driving down Route 80 and I call my father and I said, Dad, I got to tell you, giving back those two watches took me 2 weeks to give them back, by the way. I just didn't go. Like, it hurt me to give those watches back at first. So I'm driving on Route 80 and I tell him, I gave those watches back. It didn't sting as hard as I thought. And he goes, are you done? And I said, with what? And he's like, this. He said, Henry, I worked 4 fucking jobs to make sure you had clothes on your back and food on the table. And this is where he got me, and I could get choked up just thinking about it. He
He said, what are you going to do one day when Dante comes to you and says, Daddy, can you buy me those shoes or sneakers?
Right.
And you got to look him in the face and say, no, I can't because you don't have the money.
Right.
And I was bawling. I'm getting choked up just saying it again. He said, I didn't do that to you, so don't do it to him. Mm-hmm. And I was hell-bent on figuring out my financial situation and getting better at it and just focusing. And God gave me a gift. I started to really study personal development. I started listening to Jim Rohn, like the OG of personal development. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm not a huge fan of Tony Robbins, so I want to go like where he learned, right? I'm a big fan of going to the source. So I started listening to Jim Rohn tapes, literally tapes.
Tapes.
And
what is that?
Right? And he taught me the 70-10-10-10 rule, where you live off of only 70% of your earnings and you invest 10, you take 10, put it into marketing, and you take 10 and just put it under your mattress, whatever the hell you want to do with it. And for the past 2 years, I've only lived off of 70% of my earnings, and I've built up this giant nest egg. And I tell my clients and I tell audiences like this, if you want to get to a point of financial freedom, which we're all striving for, this is the way. Honest to God, because I had a couple clients come through that weren't good fits, and I said, I don't need this. Here's your money, or here's what we did, so we're subtracting that off of what you paid because I don't work for free. And here's your money, and I don't need it. I don't need it to work.
Right.
So now, and that's how we got really selective. So we have a very, very stringent application process to work with us. We want to work with great fits. We want to work with people that align with our values. And it's an application process. And now I can turn away work if I have to or if I want to. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't be able to do that. I wouldn't be able to do that if I didn't get my finances. So building that runway is what my coach calls it. Like, you got to build that runway. And when you – the further out you can – the longer you build that runway, the faster you could excel, one. And two, you don't need the aggravation anymore.
Agreed.
So what does this have to do with branding?
No, I mean, you kind of made me think of something else I want to ask you. So You just talked a bit about online reputation and reputation management and things like that, and you know all the trolling that goes on out there and people posting things as they please. Let's talk about social following. Okay. So back, you know, 13 years ago when you got started, there was no Facebook, no Instagram, no Snapchat, no TikTok, none of that.
None.
Right? So if you are starting out today, wipe out the last 13 years. Mm-hmm. You're starting out today. What type of message or what type of plan or strategy would you give someone who's in that position?
The four questions. You got to ask yourself the four questions. Who am I? What do I do? Why do I do it? Who do I do it for? And the bonus question is, what is my point of difference? What makes me different from everybody else that does what I do? And the easy answer is this: you. Everybody is so – they're forgetting what their point of difference is and their superpower, their X factor, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody's like, what's your X factor? And you know what I – like when people ask me that, I say me. And they're like, good answer.
Resilience.
It's not even that. It's me. Mm-hmm. There's only one out of 7 billion of me.
Yes.
So that's the point.
I say that too.
But the four questions that's where you start. And then once you define who it is that you're serving, that's like you mentioned before, what is the research? You really need to know your audience. And when I take my clients through the Brand Accelerator program, we go through a very deep dive with exploring who that is, what's the customer's journey, why are they searching for a product and service like you, what kind of
And this is where we go super deep. What kind of cars do they drive? What kind of bags do they wear? What kind of shoes do they wear? Where do they go to school? Who are they married to? Where do they get their news? What does this say about them as a person?
Mm-hmm.
What are the values
right.
that they use to determine their decision-making? How do they feel about us? Are they skeptic? Do they see the value? So when we know that, it gets a little easier to start marketing and putting out messaging that resonates. So if you have a very skeptical audience, how would you market to them? Very differently than how you would market to them if they loved you. Or they,
yes.
Right? Very, mm-hmm. very different. So exploring that and doing that deep dive is very, very important. So I tell my clients, I can't get into brand identity and building out your logo and looking at what the color schemes are going to be and the brand's archetypes and that. I can't get into that until we do this foundational work first. And that's where I believe the biggest problem right now with entrepreneurs is they want to get to the sexy stuff. They want
always.
They want it rushed. They want everything yesterday, and they forget to do that foundational work. And then they try to build this like skyscraper on toothpicks,
yes.
and then the first win comes, and they're gone.
I call that the KYC, Know Your Customer.
Yes,
financial institutions use that all the time, but they really deep dive into exactly what you just mentioned, mm-hmm. and it's very interesting because this framework that you just described, understanding the foundation and the psychology, the psychographic profile of your ideal client base or customer base, also resonates with how you build technology as well.
Okay.
So a lot of times, like we'll get certain projects and they're pretty massive platforms, and it's so important, I think, from the very beginning to build that foundation of scalability.
Yes.
From the very beginning, and not penny pinch. In that area.
David,
you can penny pinch later.
David Meltzer talks about that. He never negotiates to the penny. He never does because mm-hmm. He says when you do that, you're going to get perceived as coming from a place of scarcity.
Right.
And mm-hmm. nobody wants to work with people like that. And that's how I built up my sales acumen, is when I had that money in the bank as a cushion, right? When I got on sales calls, I talked a lot slower, which was huge. So my tone shifted. I got into like sexy DJ FM late night voice, right? And people were like, this is calming.
That's why I love mics.
Yeah, I trust him.
Mm-hmm,
I trust him. He talks slow. He knows what he's saying. And that's a big part of it. So voice and tone is another thing.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, I really want to make sure that your audience gets this. It's really focusing on a very specific niche. I mean, that's how I've gotten to where I'm at. I really focused on two niches. The ClickFunnels community, right? So we do a lot of funnel design, or they come to me thinking that they need a funnel, yet they need a brand.
Because
I'm like, what are you building, a funnel or a brand? Because when you try to build a funnel before the brand, we talked about this offline,
mm-hmm.
you're building a house of cards.
Mm-hmm.
But when you build the brand first and then create the funnel, now you got legs to stand on. And then I talk about some of the clients that I had. Lady Boss, for example, she came to me and her husband came to me a couple years back and was like, we're doing this all wrong. We need to build a brand. They used to call it, her last name was Tool Time. Tool. So they had this like Tool Time Fitness, blah, blah, blah. Then she was like, I'm going to brand myself the Lady Boss.
Mm-hmm.
So we helped with that brand identity. They went on to do, I think they're doing like $18 million a year.
Very nice.
Helping women lose weight and in the fitness space. So that's phenomenal. Look at the Bulletproof Coffee brand, right? Huge, multi-million dollar business. They're all using funnels. Organifi, another one. They're all using funnels, but they realized what they were doing wrong, took a step back, built the brand, then relaunched the funnels, and they exploded. So that's where you can't put the cart before the horse.
And the brand is directly connected to the audience.
Yes.
Otherwise,
so nowadays, right, as the millennials are getting older, right, and soon – the boomers are going to be gone. And the millennials are going to be the primary source of our client base, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So what I'm on the older end of being a millennial. I may even be that next generation, whatever the hell they call it. I'm not up on that.
Why, Gen Y?
And then maybe it's Y or Z. I forget why. But they're more in tune to buying from a brand that they can connect with emotionally.
Yes.
That they
absolutely
right. They mm-hmm. feel that it's bigger than them, and they're part of something, and they're they're making a difference in their purchase.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
We need to know that about them. We can't keep saying, "Oh, millennials think they're entitled," and millennials right. are this, millennials
my
are that.
My favorite is when people start bashing millennials without even understanding.
They're going to be your. They're going to be all of your customers soon. So
right.
Why not get a better understanding of who they are and work with them instead of trying to push them away?
So what are some of the biggest opportunities that marketers are missing out on today? Like you just mentioned millennials and their psychology behind why they purchase. What are some other opportunities?
I think hiding behind their brand, that is a huge missed opportunity. People are starving for the truth. They're starving for transparency. They're starving for authenticity. And what I still see a lot of people do is they hide behind their logo. They hide behind their website. They don't want to put a face to the brand. And I believe that they are killing thousands and millions of dollars in revenues. I noticed something during the holidays that struck me as shocking, because I see commercials a lot different than anybody else when I'm watching commercials. The CEO of Macy's was in a commercial. When's the first time? When's the last time you saw that?
That's great.
Yeah. He's mm-hmm. coming out from behind the desk and the corner office, and he is facing his people.
Right.
And I believe that the way you differentiate yourself in 2020 and beyond is creating a personal brand around what you do, and then you can use you as – and people are like, oh, well, what if I want to sell the business? It doesn't matter. You own the business right now. Mm-hmm. Let's focus on that.
Yes.
Right? But coming out and showing how much you care, and that's where if you go to my Google reviews, if you go to my testimonials on my website, that is the common denominator.
Mm.
I make sure – because we're expensive. We're not cheap. I make sure that my clients get a white glove service and that they truly understand that I will be there through the thick and thin of this. And they need to know that if they're going to jump in the foxhole with me, that they're going to be safe at the end of the war.
Love that. A lot of what I've heard is a lot of the pushback on being the face of your brand is, you know, one, people are uncomfortable, right? They with themselves, their look, their whatever. Two, I've heard a lot of this because I try to do that. I feel like that's kind of my job, is to be out there constantly, even if that means I'm going to get slapped around on a pretty consistent basis and take the brunt of the negative feedback as well. But that's just something you have to deal with. What do you say to people that don't necessarily understand that, no, this is not narcissism. No, you know, this is not all about me. This is just what you have to do.
Yeah. So I ask a couple of questions. We're going deep today, huh? I ask a couple of questions. How important is your business to you today? Do you want to have it 5 years from now? Okay. And then I just let them speak. Normally, they'll start to answer their own question at that point. But the other point that I like to make is people buy people first.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Then they buy your product or service. The reason why I believe that so much is when I first started, I was the most horrific graphic designer probably on the face of this earth, and I still got business. Mm-hmm. And I remember working with my old website developer back in the day. He was my wife's employee. So funny. Mike said, "You know why people are hiring you, Henry?
They like you.
They just like you."
Yeah.
Dude. And so if you're hiding that from your audience, what do they look at this visually for a second? What does your audience have to grab onto?
Nothing.
Nothing.
You're selling air.
Or prettiness. Like,
right.
Right? Like, but.
Or the future. I mean, wow, talk about having a really hard sell. We sell the future.
Who does? You know, where are you? Come out from, come out wherever you are. Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's not a narcissistic thing at all. I think if you look at it as you're doing your audience a disservice by hiding. Mm-hmm. I'm calling it hiding. You can call it whatever you want. But if you do not put yourself out there, then one, they don't have anything to grab onto. That there's not a personality to gravitate to.
Right.
And that's a big miss. That's a big miss.
How do you recognize your own bullshit?
Oh, that's a great question. I ask myself, whose voice am I listening to? So when I am pulling bullshit on myself, I ask myself, who's talking to you right now? Is it Henry? Is it your dad? Is it your mom? Is it your wife? Is it your uncle? Is it your cousins? Is it your friends? Whose voice are you listening to? And if it's, and that helps me tremendously call myself out on my own bullshit, because I'm like, oh, that was my dad talking about, you know, not spending money or taking risk. I got to do this. You know, on the way here, I did a deal. I was like, I have to do this right now. So you're going to send me an invoice and I'm going to pay it right now while I'm driving. Because if I don't make this investment right now, you're going to give me time to think about it. And I know damn well I need to do this. So, and he sent it and I paid it and we're on for tomorrow. Like, that's me calling myself out on my own bullshit. And it's a few grand, but I was like, we're doing this tomorrow. And so that's how you
self-imposed deadlines, right?
You just got to do it. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I'll share with you as we wrap up is what my coach said. Man, I've coached a lot of people in 25 years. And he said, I've never met somebody who's so much of an action taker. And if you get anything out, I hope the folks that are listening to this today see that what we did, what Terry and I did today, was a perfect example of showcasing brand. At the end of this interview, you have a better understanding of who I am as a person. And I'm not going to try to shape that any which way. I'm just going to do me. And if you mm-hmm. resonate with it, awesome. If you don't, that's cool too. That's where you build up a lot of self-confidence.
That's great, though. If they don't resonate with it, move on.
That's it. Why chase them? Yeah. You're wasting your time.
Exactly.
You're wasting your time. But you have to take action. That's the point that I'm trying to make. I didn't want to let that mm-hmm. piece go. And he was like, man, I got to watch what I say to you, because like before it comes out of my mouth, like you're scheduling your team to do it.
That's great.
I would not be able to get to where I'm at today if I didn't take action. Some of the shit fell to the wayside. Some of the shit didn't work. Some of the shit I wasted a ton of money on. I hate to say it.
Mm-hmm.
But I learned. And so now it's like, all right, let's focus on revenue generating activity. Let's focus on what's really going to move the needle. And let's not focus on $50 ebooks. My clients aren't buying $50 ebooks. They're looking for speed and they're looking for quality and they want somebody that they trust and they want to feel important and they want the job done right. And they'll pay the premium and the insurance to get it done. So putting effort into building $50 ebooks is not where I should be spending my time. It's mm-hmm. building out a more robust system, which we're going to start on tomorrow, focusing on entrepreneurs that are generating X amount of money. So they're small to medium business. They have a great product. They have a great service. But their branding, their presence online does not represent the true value that they deliver. And I see it all the time. I see people that are afraid to charge more because they're not confident in what their branding looks like online.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a shame. Because I'm like, yes, you have a phenomenal product or service in here. It looks like you just started a business yesterday.
Right.
That's mm-hmm. not fair to you. So reinvest in yourself, reinvest in your business, and level up. Because when you level up, you're going to level up your client base. Period.
Mm. That is absolute words of truth. One final thing. So mentorship. I want you to tell our listeners about how do you find the right mentor And how has that impacted your mindset and your career trajectory?
I would not be where I'm at today without having a mentor or mentors along the way. You know, Joseph Campbell talks about the hero's journey, right? And if you watch any Star Wars movie, they use the same framework. Any great movie you watch, they use the same framework.
Mm-hmm.
And without mentorship, if I didn't have the Yodas in my life to get me to where I'm at today, I would not be here. So how do you pick the right mentor? Okay. You have to align with that person's values. I always say you want to create relationships that the values align. That's going to help tremendously long term. The other thing is who's doing what you're doing and absolutely crushing it and like maybe a few miles ahead of you. So I look at life as like the New Jersey Turnpike. You may be on exit 13.
Ouch. Yeah.
Maybe a couple of speed bumps there, right? Or a couple potholes, right? But you may be on exit 13 and I may be at exit 16W. Okay. Mm-hmm. I traveled that road. I know if there's an accident ahead. I know if there's a pothole in the middle lane. I know if these planes are landing in Newark Airport or coming down a little fucking low. Right? Like, I know all of that. And so I could call – or you could call up to me and say, Henry, what am I looking at here over the next couple of miles? Because I'm right behind you, but like I'm not quite there yet. Mm. Now, if you – didn't call me, you would run the risk of hitting those potholes, a plane landing on your car, you barrel assing into the back of somebody, getting into an accident, and you have a lot of room for error.
Mm, yes.
But if you call ahead, I could say, listen, just stay in the left lane here and then get in the middle lane there and try this because this is going to get you out of the you know, the traffic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a client call last week and I said, how bad do you want this? I said, do you want to learn it in 6 months or 6 weeks?
Yes.
And you tell me, do you want to figure it out all on your own? Or do you want me to give you the little slip of paper that says, here's how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Same position as I am, just probably a couple miles behind me. So we're all on the same highway. Look for the person that's just ahead of you, however far, and say, hey, can I mentor under you? You know, can I be a mentee? How much do you charge? My guy charges $1,000 an hour. It's worth every freaking penny because the ROI I get out of those calls makes me 10x that.
Mm-hmm.
And so people are afraid, oh, out of my budget right now. Well, it must not be a big enough problem for you, and it must not be that important.
That's not your priority.
And that's not my problem. That's yours.
My grandfather used to say that in his lifetime, he has gotten to, let's say, a certain point in his career. And he always used to say, take what I've learned, get on top of my shoulders, and then you'll see much farther than I can see based on where I've gotten to. And just keep doing that. And eventually you'll build something much higher than I could have.
That's it.
So mentors are kind of like, you know, they're the guys holding you up, helping you jump over that next hurdle.
And you're going to go through a couple of them before you find one that really resonates. My mentor, he had a mentor for 10 years, paid him over $250,000, $250,000 over the course of 10 years. The guy, and it's so funny, is he was way more successful than his mentor. This is ironic. I want to just call you out here for a second. He was way more successful than his mentor ever was. But his mentor had 20 years on him. So he had 20 years worth of life on my mentor. And I get stuck with that sometimes. I'm not going to lie. Like, you're not a parent. So don't tell me how to parent.
Right.
Yet, there could be some great wisdom that comes out of you and you're not a parent. It's a different perspective. So what my coach taught me to do was look at the value that comes out of the mouth. Like, pay attention to the value of that response. Mm-hmm. And if it works,
right?
If you don't like it or you don't agree with it, you don't need to accept it. But don't judge them because they're not a parent. And right. I was like, this is so interesting. He opened up my world. So now if there's a junior designer that wants to give me a piece of advice, I will take a second to listen to it. I will. I will give them the benefit of the doubt because they're a fellow human and they're trying to help. They're just trying to help.
And there's always something in everything that people say. I mean, ultimately, it's how they're interpreting what you're saying or what you're doing. What I've found is, and I've not through mentorship, but through coaching in a completely different, for a completely different result, more like fitness coaching. Mm-hmm. What I found, I'm going to call Michelle out because I love her and what she does for me, what she's done for me. I didn't necessarily get the physical results that I wanted, or I'm still working on that, but the mental results, when somebody actually calls you out on your nonsense, that you are in your own kind of circle and you're spin cycling and coming up with all these different things and excuses. Oh, I got too much work to do. I got, you know, I don't have time to go to the gym. I don't have time to do this. I can't eat that. I can't. No, bullshit. Yes, you can. You find a way and you do what you have to do. And I think a lot of it resonates in the business world as well.
Yeah. So Mark Wahlberg, it's funny you say this. Mark Wahlberg got interviewed on Entrepreneur Magazine. And I'm friends with Jay Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief. Awesome dude. He was on the Brand Doctor podcast a couple episodes ago. And he interviewed Mark Wahlberg. And Mark Wahlberg says, it's a lot easier to stay in shape than to get in shape.
Right.
And mm-hmm. I said that, wow, you can use that in your health, right. But you can also use that business.
Yes.
So it's a lot easier to stay a healthy brand, yes, than it is to become a healthy or get, mm-hmm, into being a healthy brand. And that was a huge takeaway for me. One of the big discoveries that I made last year, which really helped me propel my business, was understanding who I was and understanding my worth. And so I was, you know, I gave you the backstory. I was very, you know, I didn't grow up with much, but we weren't poor by any means, but we were very modest, like I said. And I would go and I would try to validate myself. I would try to get the external, yes, validation, right? I would try to get people to like me or to see that I'm successful just from the shoes that I wore, the clothes that I wore, the what, right? And when I said this to my mentor was like, dude, you have everything you would ever need in this lifetime,
right,
already inside of you. Mm-hmm. So you just need to pull that out. And whew, that was huge for me, because, mm-hmm, he said, you keep looking for this external validation and it's a big chase. And he goes, I'm gonna tell you something. I've been mentoring you.
It's never enough.
Yeah, I'm mentoring you for a few months and you're exhausting me. Because every time we get on these calls, like, you don't take a second to celebrate. You don't take a second to just be grateful. Mm-hmm. And that's where I got into the 5-minute journal. I have the 5-minute journal on my app, on my phone. And every morning when I wake up, it asks you, what are the 3 things you're grateful for? What are the 3 things that are going to make today great? And there's a little affirmation at the end. I am. And I have to fill it out every day. And at the end, what made today great? 3 things. What could have improved the day? And then you write it.
I love that.
So the 5-minute journal has been huge for me because it makes me remember to celebrate your wins, even how small they are, right? And
that's hard sometimes.
It is, because, yeah, you just want to get on to the next thing. And he's like, that's an exhausting life.
Yes, it,
right,
is.
So
that's the life of an entrepreneur. They're a different species.
Listen, you always got to stay hungry, mm-hmm, but you don't have to act like you're starving.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
So on that, give me top five things that our listeners can do today to start building their brands.
Okay. So the first thing is, really identify a very specific audience and don't be afraid of blocking out everyone else. This is a game of subtraction, not addition. So when you create a great brand, you are subtracting the people that you do not want to work with, do not want to attract, with your messaging, with your look and feel, with your service deliverable. So when you subtract and you only invite the real people that you want to work with, it's going to make marketing your business a hell of a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, really start to focus in on who you are as a person and get a better relationship with yourself. Okay. Ask yourself when you start to call out your own bullshit, who am I here? Who is speaking to me right now in my head? Is it me? And is this really important to me? And do not be afraid to share that with the world. Think about the people that you admire in your life. What are the characteristics and traits that they hold? Why do you admire them so much? It's not because that they're afraid of what you think. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. The people that I admire don't give a shit about anything, about like what people think, and their eyes are on the prize at all times. And you're either with them, you're on their boat, or you're not, mm-hmm. right? And let me tell you something. When you find that inner confidence, people are going to gravitate towards you, and they're going to want to be in the same room as you, and they're going to want to get around you because confidence is very contagious. Mm-hmm. So that's number two. Number three is develop your plan before action. You wouldn't go to war without meeting with the general and creating a game plan. You wouldn't jump on a plane with a pilot that gets on the radio and says, "Morning, folks, overslept today, didn't put my routes in place, didn't do the routes today. We're going to wing this to L.A. Buckle up."
No.
You wouldn't get on that plane. Uh-uh. So developing that plan and taking the time, I'll give you a tangible here. I'll give you an action item to do. Every Sunday before you go to bed, it could be in the morning, at night, whenever you get 30 minutes. I think you only need 30 minutes. Open up your Google Calendar. Open up your Outlook calendar. Whatever calendar you use to book stuff. And map out what you want to do in 30 or 60-minute blocks or 15-minute blocks. And map out the entire week on Sunday. Let me tell you something. As an entrepreneur, you're very quick to get off track or distracted. But when you wake up every morning, when you wake up tomorrow and it's Wednesday and your Google calendar tells you what you need to do, it's such a feeling backwards. Of structure, right? Like, we're all looking for that structure, and people are like, "Well, I don't want structure. I want the freedom. That's why I'm an entrepreneur." Well, the more structure you have in life, the more freedom you'll have, right?
Yes, that is true.
So make that plan. That's number three. And number four is understand that you cannot do this on your own. Mm-hmm. And really digest that and accept that. I've never met a billionaire or a multimillionaire that has done it on his own or her own.
100%.
Okay, mm-hmm. So start to think, if you want your time back, if you want your freedom back, building out your team and hiring based on value. Create your team based on the values that you have as a person. And they don't have to have every single value that you have. But if you value communication, which is huge in my brand, they have to have that core value mm-hmm. of communicating. They got to know how to speak to me. They got to know how to speak to other team members. Otherwise, you're not going to be a good fit here. Mm-hmm. So knowing that you're not going to be able to do that on your own, that's number four, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And number five, understand that we are only on this planet for 2 seconds.
Yes.
2 seconds. Yes. Think about that. Mm-hmm. You know, Kobe Bryant's death has really rattled right. my wife and I, and we never met this guy. Right? When I got that news on Sunday, I was like blown away, right? Like yes. 41. And what really rattles my wife's cage is his 13-year-old daughter was right. with him. Right? And so if we keep focusing every day on how much money we're going to make and what our bank accounts look like, we're getting off. We're not focusing on the right thing. And I will give Gary Vee a shout out for this. I saw a quote come through my feed, and he said, "Stop worrying about the money in your bank account and start worrying about who's going to come to your funeral."
Yeah. That's true.
It's just a completely different. I said, "Gary, yeah. you got that, dude." I was like, you just made me you just gave me a different perspective. And so when I was at this meetup yesterday, I started to build a little crowd around me, and I was explaining to them, like, we're so focused on the mic. I could see it in your eyes. You all want to get that seven-figure mark. You all want to become a millionaire. You all want to make money. You all want to do that. Let me tell you something. When you focus on doing great work, when you focus on getting the results for your clients, when you focus on their well-being and the experience that you deliver to them, that money, you will need garbage trucks to bring it to your bank. Mm-hmm. So that's where you stay focused, and you'll see what happens. And so those are the five big takeaways, I think, that are really going to help you build a solid, reputable, and profitable brand.
Thank you, Henry. That was absolutely insightful and phenomenal content. I hope everybody enjoys this episode.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Thank you for being here. Thanks for listening to the Amplify Podcast. Follow us on our social channels and subscribe on Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, or wherever you get your podcasts. On the next episode, stay tuned for more trailblazing insights, energy, and culture to help fuel your pursuit in the modern digital era.